Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. Even though there are toxic chemicals all around, we don't have to get sick from them or be unhappy about them or have them affect our body, mind, or spirit. We can take control of our lives and choose to not have toxic chemicals in them. We can remove toxic chemicals from our homes, from our bodies, and have the lives that we want. And that's what this show is about. I've got lots of wonderful guests every day. I'm just amazed at how incredible my guests are. So I hope that you're joining me so that you can hear all of them. And if you've missed any of them, you can go to my website, toxicfreetalkradio.com, and listen to the archives, because we've just got amazing, amazing people saying wonderful things every day. Today is Monday, July 15th, 2013. Well, let me go back. Every day, Monday through Friday. So today is Monday, July 15th, 2013. I'm here in Clearwater, Florida. The sun is shining. No thunderstorms on the horizon. So we'll have power and no problem with that. And today we're going to talk about how to make your toxic-free home beautiful. I've got a great green interior designer standing by to talk to us. But before we go to her, I want to give you one of my favorite quotes. And this is from William Morris. William Morris was a designer in England at the time in the late 1800s, just when there was a shift going on between artisan production and industrialization. And so he was looking at the beauty of artisan designs versus the machine-like design and mentality of industrialization and fighting against it in his life. And he said, "Have nothing in your houses that you do not know to be useful or believe to be beautiful." And I visited, when I was in England, I visited his house, and he did have a beautiful house, but it was very simple, kind of, his designs, they're hard to describe, but if you were to see them, you would recognize them. You just probably don't know they're by William Morris. They're kind of arts and craftsy kind of designs. And he also said, "The true secret of happiness lies in taking a genuine interest in all the details of daily life." And that's what we're talking about here, is taking an interest in what you have in your homes, how they're affecting your health, how they're beautiful or not beautiful. And he also said, "A good way to rid oneself of a sense of discomfort is to do something. That uneasy, dissatisfied feeling is actual force vibrating out of order. It may be turned to practical account by giving proper expression to his creative character." So if you're feeling uncomfortable about toxic chemicals in your life, the thing to do is to do something. That there is so much that can be done. We'll talk about that Monday through Friday on this show. And just do one of those things and see how good you feel about it. So my guest today is Lydia Corser. She's a green interior designer and the owner of a green remodeling store in Santa Cruz, California, called Green Space. Hi, Lydia. Thanks for being with me.
Hi, Deborah. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your life and how you came to be a green interior designer and not just an interior designer that puts toxic materials all over people's homes.
Well, I'm a lifelong environmentalist, really, and I have an undergraduate degree in wildlife biology with botany and English minors, and then discovered after college when there was a certain president in office who thought that once you've seen one tree, you've seen them all, that I couldn't get a job in my field. And also, you know, I'm a very creative, artistic person, and science really wasn't probably the best path for me, but I had decided in high school that I had to save the planet. And so that was the best path that I could see at the time. And after working for a while to pay down my student loans, I ended up taking an introduction to interior design course and loved it. So I went back and got a degree in interior design and finished in 1998, 5 months pregnant with my daughter. And in the midst of that, realized that, you know, the built environment is responsible for 30% at least of the waste on our planet, and started to think about indoor air quality because sick building syndrome was becoming mm-hmm. more and more widely known, and decided to focus my career on green interiors. And at that point, only really commercial interiors were being supplied with green materials. And so it was quite an uphill battle, and I had to focus all my student projects in design school on my own because there wasn't as much knowledge as there is now. And when I got out of school, I used to say, you know, that I was a green interior designer. People used to ask me if that meant that I only worked with the color green. So you can see how far we've come. And then
Go ahead with your story.
Oh, well, there's not much more to tell. I have a certificate as a certified kitchen designer, so I've done a lot of kitchen and bath work. One of my favorite things is also color consulting. And the store was really the embodiment of my frustration at the distribution channels for green materials. I was carrying the things around in the back of my car, and as they became more available, I wanted a place where people could come and know that everything was pre-screened green. That's what I tell them. And so I'm not just looking at toxins. You know, I look at a lot of different aspects of products to decide what to have in the store. And it's a struggle because, you know, there are so many different priorities that people are weighing.
Yes.
And there are no perfectly green products, none.
Exactly.
So that's my story. So I've had the store for about, it's almost 7 years now, and I'm one of the very few to survive in the Bay Area. The economy's been really hard on the construction industry, as you know.
Yeah.
But we're hanging in there.
Good for you. Yes.
Thank you.
So usually the guests that I have are focused on some toxics issue.
Right.
And you're coming from a green perspective. And I just want to say something about the term green and the viewpoint of green, and you can comment on this too if you'd like, because there was a period in my life where starting in 1987, after researching things toxic and non-toxic, I said, oh my God, there's an environment out there and I'm affecting it and it's affecting me, and I decided I needed to be green. But what happened as I brought all those green criteria into my work many, many years ago, before the word green was even being used, in 1987, what I found was that people who were considering the environment were considering recycling and resource use and clear-cutting forests and all these other things that are very important issues. But what I found over a period of time was that the issues of toxics were not being given the same kind of consideration
right.
as some of those other issues. And so what I decided to do was just go back to focusing on toxics. Not that the other issues aren't important, but to me, if people are putting toxic chemicals in the environment from the manufacture or use of consumer products, that's doing more to harm life than anything else. We'll talk more about this when we come back from the break. My guest is Lydia Corser, green interior designer and the owner of Green Space, a green remodeling store. And she's also online. You can find Green Space on my website, deborahslist.com. And we'll talk with Lydia after the break. Listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest is Lydia Corser, green interior designer and owner of Green Space, a green remodeling store in Santa Cruz, California, and online. So, Lydia, let's continue what I was saying before the break, and tell me your viewpoint about what the word green means.
Well, I think, you know, environmentalists and green people and toxic experts can talk all day about semantics. I think that it's really an evolution of thought, as you described it. You know, you start out from one perspective, and more people now are coming from the perspective where you and I have arrived, that, you know, these toxic chemicals and synthesized chemicals that we've been creating, humankind, are just the most important thing to focus on, really, as ingredients in everything, in food, in indoor air, you know, or finishes on in interiors, and so many aspects of our lives, you know, what our cars are made out of, everything.
Yeah. Yes.
So I even though I came from an environmentalist point of view, I'm very much on the same page with you, and I'm feeling like even the U.S. Green Building Council this year, their major focus is on health. They finally figured out
how to
reach people, and I just can't believe that it's taken so long, but I'm so happy about it, because that's what I've been, that's been the thing that I've used to talk to people about this stuff and to warn them about, you know, what carpet and all these different materials that we use on interiors are comprised of. And, you know, it's, as you know, a great struggle to find products that are made from natural materials in non-deadly combinations. And I am happy that I can offer them to the public, you know, through the retail store. It's great.
I'm happy that you're offering them too, because they're not the kind of products that you can find by going into regular stores. And I wish there were stores like yours in every community in the world.
But really, the best thing would be is if we didn't need stores like mine and they were everywhere, and that were, those were the only choices that we had.
I totally agree with you. And, you know, just in that regard, I want to say that in 1990, I started a business that I'm no longer part of, but I started a business with some partners where the idea was that we were going to open, like, green boutiques, a chain of green boutiques. And so we started doing R&D, and I finally said to them, you know what? What is really needed is for there not to be a need for green boutiques. And I
right.
think that what's going to happen is these green products, like at the time we were looking at selling things like recycled toilet paper
mm-hmm.
and things like that, which you couldn't buy at Staples, but now you can. And I said, you know what the future is going to be, is that these green products are going to be in regular stores, and there will be no need for green boutiques. And
right.
and that is actually what happened. And so
to some extent.
To some extent is that we now see these products that I was thinking we needed a boutique for are now in mainstream stores. So that idea didn't fly. The company went off to do something else, to sell green products actually to mainstream stores like Walmart and Target and places like that. But that is what, that's how far we've come. We're in 1990, which isn't so long ago. In 1990, I thought we needed a green boutique, and now we can find those products, a lot of those products, in regular stores. But still, the interior design products are more difficult to find. Things like paints and carpets and all those things that you sell. Let's
right.
talk about, before we get into all your safe alternatives, let's just talk about what are some of the toxic chemicals that you have found in interior design products that you felt needed, we need to not be exposed to?
Well, you're even more of an expert than I am on the actual chemistry. Volatile organic compounds, or VOCs, as you know, are known carcinogens
yes.
that are aromatic. And they can also just be severe irritants because some people have sensitivities and they've become very acute because of prolonged or intense exposure to various things. So those are the things, you know, that are the most dangerous, really, formaldehyde and so on. There's a long list. So I try to focus on products that have zero VOCs whenever I can find them, or, you know, minimal VOCs that are plant oils and, you know, contain plant oils and things that are less harmful.
I do that as well. So you said that you screen things, that everything is already screened for green. Can you tell us more about your screening products process? I know that for myself, that what I do is my first question is always, is it toxic or not toxic? And I choose the ones that are not toxic. And once it passes that screen, then I look at the other green things. So what is it that you're looking at? And if we run into a commercial, we'll just continue after the break.
Okay. I look at the exact same things. I look first at the material safety data sheets. I actually use your book, Home Safe Home, frequently to look up chemicals. That's why I'm a little intimidated about this part of our conversation. But every day in this kind of work is very humbling, so we're learning all the time. Yeah. And so that's what I look at, toxins first and foremost. So like in flooring, it's going to be the adhesives and the finishes, because the materials are typically natural, but the binders and then the way they're finished on the top to make them durable. And then in any liquid, like a paint, a stain, again, an adhesive or a finish, same kind of thing, looking at the chemical composition and trying to find things that are going to meet customers' needs as far as durability and maintenance while not poisoning them. And then I look at, I like to look at, you know, where things are manufactured. I try to find out about the social and economic justice aspects of products.
And?
And, sorry, I thought. And I look at proximity, if they're made locally or in the U.S. or, you know, in North America, that's better because there's less transportation and, you know, a carbon footprint, which also affects our environment and the air that we breathe.
So we're going to take a break now, and we'll be back with Lydia Corser in just a few minutes. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Lydia Corser. She's a green interior designer and the owner of a store called Green Space that sells green and non-toxic products that you would use in the interior of your home. So, Lydia, let's just go and talk about some of these wonderful products that you have. It basically, the types of products fall into categories of paints and stains, sealers and finishes, and as an alternative, plaster. Then there's floorings, there's countertops and tile, and then you have some other products, solar tubes to bring light into the space, and mattresses. But I'd like to focus on, obviously we're not going to have time to talk about everything you have here. You just have so many products. But let's start with paints and like what you put on your walls, because mm-hmm. I know that that's a big source of toxic exposure for people. In fact, I think that carpet is the number one thing, because if people have carpet, synthetic carpet in their home, they have, it's an ongoing source of time release toxic chemicals that goes on for years.
Right.
But I think that a lot of people get, a big toxic exposure when they paint and, or put a finish on a wood surface. And then that continues to outgas and outgas and outgas sometimes for years. So let's talk about paint first. And then let's go on to flooring. So So tell us about the various paints that you offer.
Okay. Well, we have, in most of the categories, like with carpet too, we have from the greenest of the green, or I call it the crunchiest granola, to the, you know, lighter green, products. And that's true with paint too. We carry milk paint, which is made from milk casein and, mineral pigments. And that works really well for, wood finishes. We have a lot of beekeepers in our area, and they're using it like crazy on their beehives, which I'm happy about.
Oh,
and
that's
it's
so
great.
Wonderful.
Yeah, children's furniture and all those kinds of things. And then it can be sealed with tung oil from the Chinese nut, and that makes it really durable, interior or exterior. And then we also carry clay paint, natural clay paint. So, you know, it has kaolin clay and mineral pigments, and it's a lovely, lovely wall finish. Not everybody has the appetite for adventure that some of these natural products require. Often they require a little gentler use or more maintenance, which, unfortunately, in our zip-zip world, people often, sadly, aren't willing to invest. So we do carry two brands of more mainstream paint. They're both zero VOC paints. And our tinting machine is, you know, we have a very sophisticated tinting machine and matching system. So we use zero VOC pigments in our paint. So that they maintain their zero VOC status.
Yeah, I think
as
that's
they
an important point to make, because mm-hmm. there are zero VOC paints, and then they put VOC pigments in them. And that's something that people need to be aware is going on.
Right. I've had people come into the store just distressed because they bought a brand of paint that was carried in a more mainstream store that I also carry, and it's a zero VOC brand, but when it was tinted, and especially in the darker colors, it becomes, of course, more and more noticeable because there are more and more VOCs to create
right.
those
right.
colors, and the outgassing, you know, I think you can probably speak more accurately than I, but I read one study that said that paint can continue outgassing for at least 3 years.
Yes, and I've read that too.
Yeah, longer. You know, we all thought that it was 30 days or something, but that's absolutely not the case at all. So it's crucial that people understand this.
And especially if you're painting a whole house, like if
right.
you just get to house or you're remodeling and you paint every room in the house,
right.
that multiplies the amount of VOCs. But
right.
even if you're in a room, like say you've just painted your bedroom and then you go into that room every night and close the door,
oy,
a lot of
yeah.
ventilation.
And one other important thing is actually drywall mud that goes underneath that paint, because most of that has a lot of vinyl in it because it's a plasticizer that makes it easy for the laborers to work, and it dries more quickly. And hot mud especially, they call it hot mud. When they're rushing to finish a job, they'll use that, or if they have to do a patch. And vinyl, as we know, is a tremendously toxic substance, and the more supple it is, the more, you know, it has
yes.
It has dioxin and all kinds of crazy things in it. So sometimes people will get a whole house project done and not even realize that they've just let the drywall team use a really toxic chemical underneath the paint. And paint doesn't seal that in because it's supposed to breathe. And so it can come through, and then people end up blaming the paint. Even
yeah.
when they're using zero VOC paint, it happens a lot.
Yeah, it's really important, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, that if people want to reduce or eliminate toxic chemicals in their indoor home environment, they need to be looking at every single product that
That's
is
right.
being used in that interior.
That's
because,
right, and it is,
you know,
daunting.
I mean, I even had a subfloor that was being laid. I was turning a porch into a room, and so I had them lay strips of wood across the cement floor so that they could then lay a hardwood floor on it. And I said, I don't want any toxic chemicals and blah, 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 blah. And I walk in on them working on it, and they're putting an adhesive, toxic adhesive down on the on these strips that I'm having them lay. And I said, what is this? I told you no toxic chemicals. And they said, oh, well, this is standard. This is the way we have to do it. Otherwise, it'll squeak. And I said, I don't care if it squeaks. No toxic chemicals. And I made this very clear. This was something that they had agreed to. So you really have to watch it, because a lot of these workers, I mean, virtually everybody has been trained in a toxic way. The only people who are not doing it toxic are people who have specifically decided to not do it toxic and have sought these non-toxic products and learned how to use them. Otherwise, every worker you might hire has been trained to do it in a toxic way, and they're just going to do what they were trained to do. And this is what we need to be watching out for. My guest today is Lydia Corser. She's a green interior designer. And we're talking about toxic chemicals in indoor environments and safe products. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guest today is Lydia Corser, green interior designer and the owner of Green Space, a green remodeling store in Santa Cruz, California, and online, greenspacecompany.com, I think. Is that it? Did I get that
right? That's
it. Yeah. Okay, greenspacecompany.com, or you can also find it on Deborah's List at deborahslist.com. Just type in Green Space. Well, we're in our last segment, Lydia, so I don't think we're going to get to flooring in this show. So I want to keep talking about paint, because I've experimented with a lot of these natural paints, and I need to say that that the real the milk paint is my favorite paint, because it, even though it does take more attention, as you said, and that you have to fuss with it, and that you can't just go down to the store and have them put in it, the exact color out of the machine that you want. I had a room painted, and I had to mix the exact amount of paint that I needed, so that, because I couldn't mix the same color again.
Right.
And I had to mix two different colors in order to get the color that I wanted.
Yep.
But let me tell you that the results were so worth it, because not only is it beautiful and it has this really softness to it, the texture on the wall, it has this beautiful softness that acrylic or latex paint doesn't have.
Right.
And you can take all the VOCs out, but it's not going to look like this.
Right.
And the way it smells when I was putting it on the wall, I mean, I could put it on the wall myself. For
yay.
One. And it smelled like a nice warm mug of milk.
That is just lovely. Identifiable smells.
Such a wonderful natural experience.
Yeah.
To know that I was taking milk and mixing it with earth pigments and making a beautiful color that I could have this creative experience with as an artist.
Yeah.
And putting it on the wall. And every time I look at it, it just has this this quietness about it.
Mm.
It's like there's no artificiality about it. It's just
right.
Like nature on my wall.
Yay.
And another natural product that I have experience with is the American clay plaster.
Yes, I have it in my own home.
Yeah. And let me just tell you that if I could actually get it here without paying $1 million to have it shipped, because my house is in Florida and American clay is in California, it actually costs me more to ship it than to buy it.
Yeah, they're in New Mexico. That's true. It is.
Yeah. So, but it has the most gorgeous, gorgeous look to it. I have one of the blues, I forgot what it was called, but I put it in my bathroom and I put it up high. I tiled the wall up 7 feet with white subway tile. And then above that, because I have a very high ceiling, I put this blue clay plaster. and it looks so gorgeous. Oh my God. And it was so easy to work with. But just the look of it and the fact that it has variation to the color and it has texture. So it's not just this flat one shade. It's just an amazing experience that every time I walk into my bathroom, I go, this is so beautiful. And if I lived in New Mexico and I could just go down and get the American Clay Plaster, I would have it on every wall in my house immediately. just is, it's like you're living with a different experience. And so I want people to know that it's not just about the toxic chemicals. It's what's on the other side of toxic chemicals is this whole other world of beauty and nature that gives you a different experience and a different connection with the natural world. And I think that that has a value in and of itself.
It has tremendous value. It enhances our daily life. And like you said, you know, every time I look at my plastered walls in my dining room and my living room, I have a sense of accomplishment as well. And the softness and the variation in color. And in the dining room, I used a straw additive, and then you wash it back. So some of the straw shows the sides of the straw stalks, and it's just so beautiful. And, you know, that's where we eat every day. And the clay actually is a filter for toxins. And you probably notice in the bathroom that as it moistens, you can smell it. And then it'll dry over time. And so it takes in moisture, and then it releases it slowly.
That was one of the things that made me think that this was perfect for a bathroom, because a lot of times, like I remember when I was originally learning about milk paint, people would say, well, you can't put it in the bathroom because it'll mold because of the moisture. And yet the clay plaster is perfect for the bathroom because of exactly that, what you just described, is that we'll absorb the moisture, and then as the air dries, it releases the moisture back out. So it never gets wet like a semi-gloss wall gets wet.
Right.
It never grows mold. How long has it been? 6 or 7 years I've had my plaster walls. It has never grown mold. It has no signs of wear, nothing. It's just like this permanent breathing part of the living organism of my bathroom.
Yeah. Well, and that's how we want to be looking at buildings and homes.
Yes.
as an organism, because every part interacts with every other part. And it's a really important concept to embrace. And looking at toxins, looking at energy use, looking at, you know, every part, they all affect each other just like in nature.
Well, that's the way it is. In life, everything is interconnected, whether we know that it is or not. And that's one of the basic principles of thinking. I mean, there's a whole different way of thinking about nature from a nature viewpoint versus an industrial viewpoint, because an industrial viewpoint says everything is separate. And it all needs to be identical. Every can of paint that comes off the line needs to look exactly the same. And we need to be able to say, this is eggshell. And and that's the color in every single room in this building. You know, and that's not what nature is about. Nature really is about this big variation of beauty and having things be different and unique and changing, even, you know, having things look different from season to season. It's not about sameness. It's about the light is going to come in differently. You know, it's like, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say just like William Morris, his philosophy that you opened the show with.
Yes. Yes. He, I'm sure you must know William Morris.
Oh, yeah. And as you were talking about it, you know, we just were in Paris and in the Louvre and some of the other museums. They had some of his work, of course, since he's world renowned. And I was pointing them out to my almost 15-year-old daughter and explaining to her who he was, such a pivotal person, with, you know, swimming against the tide of the time and trying to get people to get more, to become reaware of their natural side and the beauty and nature and bringing that back into our daily lives.
Can you imagine what it must have been like, you know, that there was this time period in the late 1800s when there was people like William Morris and Henry David Thoreau, where they were at this time where they were born into a time that was more nature oriented, and then they're seeing this industrial mega whatever was the right word, this huge thing just coming in and taking over and trying to fight against this. And I just so admire these people from the past and learn as much as I can about them, because they had this vision of how we can be connected to nature, because they experienced that themselves. And that they knew, William Morris knew how to dye fabrics with natural materials, because that's the way he was trained. And then to see these dyes come in and where they're all synthetic and all the colors are exactly the same and all that.
And horrendously toxic.
And horrendously toxic. And can you imagine, like, what an affront to his sensibility that must have been? Mm-hmm. And now here we are, 100-something years later, and 130, 40, 50 years later, and that there are people like you and I who are saying, well, we need to, this is a horrible experiment of all this industrialism. We need to get back to what works. Yeah. And so I so appreciate that you're doing what you're doing, because it's exactly the direction that I think that we all need to be going. And so I'm very happy that you could be my guest today.
Well, I'm very happy to be your guest as well. And I couldn't do my job without you and your books. So it's mutual, believe me.
Thank you. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. And if you enjoyed this show, please tell your friends and come back tomorrow.